Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, if you remember videotapes, we had Betamax versus VHS and then the streaming wars. But could all of that be about to change? After years of mega deals and billions spent by the big beasts in Hollywood, have mergers now put paid to the streaming arms race? Well, to talk us through what this means, we're joined by Elaine Burke, journalist and hope of the For Tech's Sake podcast. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
So the whole conversation has been promoted by another merger in the US, Hulu and Disney Plus. What's going on there?
So Hulu has been a part of Disney's empire for a little while now. It's not something that would be as clear to us on this side of the Atlantic Ocean, because we're actually already getting access to Hulu's content under the Star banner in Disney Plus. Star kind of gives you more adult content across that Disney streaming platform, and it includes content from FX, content from Hulu, and these are all different providers in the States, different entities. And Hulu has operated as a separate app in the States for a while, and now it's going to be fully integrated into Disney Plus. So essentially, it means that users, right,
people
in
might remember,
are going,
I think, The Handmaid's Tale was made by Hulu, was it? So the people are familiar, as you say, with the content there.
Yeah, and there was like a new Predator film called Prey that was part of the Hulu content library as well, and did quite well really on the streaming platform when it came out on Disney Plus. So it means that the people in the US are essentially going to have a similar experience to what we have over here, where that content will be integrated into the Disney Plus streaming platform organically. They'll still be able to have separate Hulu subscriptions for now, but I'd imagine that Disney wants to kind of weed them out and eventually just have people on one subscription for access to the entire Disney library.
Okay, so Netflix then, up until recently, they've been the big one to beat in terms of streaming. How are they doing?
So that's what people assume, I think, because Netflix was really first and definitely the big name in the game when it comes to streaming. But that's not to say that it doesn't have competition. And when it depends on what you're measuring by. If you're going by streaming numbers, Netflix does win out and out. But if you're looking at the whole media empire, Disney doesn't just have streaming, it has channels as well. So it has TV and streaming kind of locked in there. And in the US, where that would be a stronger base for them, they do better numbers than Netflix when it comes to TV viewership, because people can watch a mix of Disney content, whether they get it from broadcast or whether they get it from streaming. And then if you're looking at over the broad spectrum of how people are engaging with, say, video content, the out-and-out winner is YouTube. And what was really remarkable earlier this year in February, Nielsen, which is basically a rating agency, they monitor viewership and they independently verify figures on viewership. And in the States, they observed for the first time in February of this year that using TV, so using your TV device to view things, people were watching YouTube more than anything, more than any broadcast provider, more than any streamer. It was YouTube. Out and out was the winner there.
And do we know what on YouTube? Is it just any clips, YouTube shorts, or does it drill into that at all?
So yeah, this was like any access of the YouTube app would have counted towards this usage. And when you think about it, the reason why YouTube can be really dominant is because it's really unlimited in terms of the kind of content that you can access there. You might be looking up things on YouTube because you want to know how to do something in terms of DIY about the house. You might be watching a podcast. It's becoming increasingly popular for people to watch podcasts, and YouTube is usually the place that they go to for that. You might be watching a TV show, TV shows that are made for YouTube, web series and things like that. You might be watching music videos. You might be watching viral moments that caught your eye. You might even be live streaming an event or an announcement or something like that. There's so many options for YouTube. So when you think of that, you can see why it becomes maybe the most common portal that people are viewing things through.
All right. And of the different streamers, I mean, going back to, I suppose, the ones that people signed up to, obviously, you know, they all are premium payment type subscriptions. Netflix was the one everyone had, but there's been a bit more fragmentation in the market.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, once Disney came out, that meant that Disney came into this game with a catalogue of content that's very desirable content. When you think of anyone in a household that has young children in it, they're probably going to have some kind of Disney Plus subscription, because they have made some of the best family-oriented films and programming for a long time now. And then you've got Paramount. They also have a catalogue of content, and they now have Paramount Plus, their own streaming platform. So you get access to some older TV shows, some older films, because they own the licensing rights to all that stuff. And then you have another competitor that's more like Netflix in the form of Amazon and Apple as well. They didn't come to the game with catalogues of content, with experience in developing content and in producing content. So they've had a bit more of a struggle in defining themselves as what kind of content you get here. I think Apple has done a good job to carve out its identity there, in that you know you're going to get really high profile ensemble casts and prestige dramas out of Apple TV. I think they've kind of stake their claim there, and good sci-fi as well, actually, kind of good underrated sci-fi happening over on Apple TV. Whereas Prime, I think they're still trying to find what their niche is here, and they're kind of like more like an early stage Netflix, where it was more experimental. They were kind of trying everything and seeing what sticks. Netflix has probably kind of figured out the things that work. You see the formulas that come up all the time in terms of true crime and other kind of crime based series, because they just know the type of viewer that they have, the binge type viewers. They have shows that end on a cliffhanger to promote binge viewing, so you have to watch the next episode. They have documentaries that are consistently one or two episodes longer than they need to be, and all that is about Netflix ensuring that they are capitalizing as much of your time as possible with their content. So part of even their content decision making is driven by the bottom line and the numbers that they want to be reporting to shareholders and things like that.
All right. And just briefly before we let you go, the billions that are going into this are pretty considerable. When are people going to see, the big business is going to see a return on that, that decides whether or not they'll stay in the market?
Well, I think what's really interesting is that the bigger this business gets, the more it starts to look like traditional broadcast. Because of the challenges, when you're talking about investing billions into content production and you do want to see returns on that, and also if you're talking about like the shareholder value model, which like Netflix is beholden to and Apple is beholden to, even though Apple TV is a small part of the Apple empire, they have to report consistent growth. Growth is all that matters, really, when it comes to earnings calls. Sustainable business isn't actually as sexy. So when that's your prerogative, you end up having to introduce new things to have constant growth in numbers. And right, that might mean in Netflix, they have a lower cost subscription. They have advertising coming through. So advertising, sports events and things like that, the things that traditional broadcasters already mastered, I think you're going to see a lot more of that on streaming platforms.
All right, Elaine Burke, thanks very much for that.